Good afternoon and welcome. Yes, sir.
Uncle Mark.
Hey, Uncle Mark, how are you doing? It's good to hear you.
I was on for a long time, so I hope I can, you know, provision can be made, allocate, sometime I have to talk with you. Peter?
Yes, sir.
Just let me make a little something to what you said earlier. Sometime back, not a certain politician, but politicians have spent some time in Station Hill.
Like
I would
who,
not
sir?
Say with the politician. Yeah, in just at Station Hill.
Who? At Station Hill?
You know, you can't do. You know, they spend some time not visiting inmates as lawyers, but spending some time up there. And if you do your research, you would realize.
But you can save this man. There, you can see who they get locked up.
I tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. But for thiefing or for?
Hold on. Listen. Let me give you a clue. I am telling the truth. Because if I speak to you, I have to be telling you the truth. Let me move on. I don't give you a clue. And if you catch on that,
I'm a little slow. I remember a couple of people up the road for, there was one criminal defamation, but that wasn't in Station Hill, I don't think.
And then I'm telling the truth and I'm speaking to you the truth. So you can put it together. Let me move on.
All right, fair enough.
Now, Peter, this is really a two-sided country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the measures that are now being implemented by the government. But one seem not to remember that, and I'm going to prove a point, in 1986, when the Barbados Labour Party lose the government to the Democratic Labour Party, one of the first things they did, last in, first out, over 4,500 people got sent home. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Over 4,500 people got sent. The Transport Board was highly affected. Because of that, that was when the Barbados Labour Party lose the Tom Adams government lose in 1986. The adjustment was made, and the people who believed have supported the government that had just lost, last in, first out. That's one. About 2 years ago, 3,500 people were sent home from beautiful Barbados, and they were sent home to a thing about it, those people went home without a cent. For weeks and months, they were not given a cent. And now you hear people talking a lot of jive, a lot of seem not to remember, seem not to go back in time. But I'll tell you, ask those persons who were sent home by beautified Barbados off the highway. Most of them might get a little pittance, but they were left stranded without a cent. So what is happening now is either that you understand fully the serious measures that we're in, and the very serious measures are that you either can accept these measures or let's go for the evaluation. And if you go for the evaluation, then obviously you're not going to be comfortable with it. So let's sacrifice as we go on. And I said it that way. Thirdly, I don't know if the Bridgetown, this heritage thing is still working. We said sign up to the Heritage, United Nations Heritage, Mr. Wickham.
Well, you mean the Heritage Foundation, Heritage Fund or something, sir?
Yeah. Well, again, if we sign up to it, something got to be wrong. Because since they built that thing on the gas, I call a lookout for the night women. Because it don't serve any purpose. That thing that they built up there, that nobody seems to remember, has now become a landmark as far as night workers are concerned. When you come down to Broad Street,
are we talking about that? Is that landmark for night workers?
The biggest flag of the time was flown on this building on this landmark for the 50th anniversary.
You mean the monument?
The monument. It's now become a landmark.
So what? Piers picking up there now?
I never said that. I said for night workers.
Right, but then if it's night worker, well, let's be frank. If Piers, I didn't realize that. Piers, I passed there recently and I didn't see anybody. Around
because
looking that way. Not I was looking, let's just be clear. I wasn't looking for nothing. But you know, from time to time, I normally pass and say hello to the girls. So, and boys, because apparently there's boys there too. So
yeah, you must look around and you'll see, because that is one of the areas that are well lit. And the other areas.
No, I didn't see anything. I normally see them over the other side by Light and Power, but I didn't realize that was now a venue.
I can see if they move to that landmark. Right?
Well, I mean,
I'm saying that.
It is what it is, boy. You know, the bills got to get paid.
I agree with that. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm saying that when you look at Broad Street,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're
so you feel that that's where the fair should be picking up Broad Street?
No, I mean, if you don't be careful, it's likely to be happening there. If you look
it's happened there already, just around the corner. Right. But I just thought you were arguing that we should remove. We should remove the prostitutes to Broad Street, relocate them.
No, but you see, I don't want to go into this prostitute thing because I want to take it above head. And I am trying to say that when you look at the service provided by the taxi drivers in this country, mm-hmm. and you look at where those taxi drivers are working, there is an area there just in the taxi stand, right off the mutual building. I don't know if anybody got sheep, cows, or goats that they could go and tie them there, because all filled with grass. There's an area up in Higginson Alley, up between the bank. Again, you could carry your sheep, your goat, and your dogs up in there. I want to know how it is that we can have a city that nobody... When you look at the rundown area of Jubilee Gardens, when you look at the area of Hero Square, where people are now removing from parking in the car park, and some people are parking in Hero Square, we have to pay more attention to our city. Worst of all...
But they ain't got no space in Hero Square to park?
But that's, they should not be parking in Hero Square.
But where people can park in there?
People park, there's five or six cars that find themselves parked at the bottom of Hero Square.
But there's a taxi stand to the right, but I mean, beyond that.
Mr. Wickham.
Okay. I didn't realize, I've never seen anybody parking. That's ridiculous, quite
Mr.
frankly.
Wickham, one of the things that I do is that when I go through town, I have an interest and I look. So I'm telling you that.
So you used to be looking at Bushell too?
Well, if I pass through Bushell, I can't close my eyes, but I'm going up there purposely to see what's
happening. See what's going on. No, listen, I know, and I know you also agree that we need green spaces in Bridgetown. And I think over time, what we need to do is reduce the number of cars going into the city, period. I mean, one of my hopes is that at some point in time, we can close off Broad Street. We can close off Broad Street completely. We just have pedestrian traffic. That is the way that it is going now. You know, in the more developed countries where your city is essentially a thoroughfare for people to walk. Walkers have a right of way. And I think that would be a nice addition. Our problem, of course, is diverting traffic around Bridgetown is a nightmare.
You know, that's another level.
Right. But in the meantime, developing green spaces, I'm with that. If it is that the areas where the taxis would normally congregate are run down, and maybe the grass could be kept, and you know, we could have a green space, put a bench or two in there.
I'm talking about having it groomed. I'm talking about having it
fixed up. I don't see a problem with that, and it doesn't cost a lot of money, you know.
You see a problem that sometime last year, November, a tree fell there and injured two cars. Mm-hmm. And damage. But you know that there is a pole there now that is rocking. If that pole comes down, it's going to affect the cars and whoever's standing
there. Electricity providing. You know, the only issue that I have is that I remember how it was when that area was a bus stand, right? I also remember when there was a Greens bus stand. Sorry?
Which area we talking about that was a bus stand?
The same area by Jubilee Gardens.
No. I further up. I appreciate what
the area. Then. The area opposite Chaffet.
No,
opposite Trident House.
That is not. That was not a bus stand.
It was further a bus stand, Mark, for ZR vans. I'm telling you, I caught ZR vans to Wanstead from down there before they were relocated. That's where they used to catch them.
Mr. Wickham, let me detail where I'm speaking about first, right?
Okay.
The green, your lower green.
The lower green, right.
Which is now Jubilee Gardens.
Which was a bus stand.
Which was a bus stand.
Yes.
The taxi stand, which is up in front, the pharmacy and trading building.
Okay.
Has always been a taxi stand from the time we went to town in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
Where it has always been a taxi stand where you had people like Pooley Trent, Riley, and all those people operating in that taxi stand. I am saying that somewhere along the line, sometime back, they were supposed to move some of them, and they moved them down to Nell Street. Some of the taxis are kept on Nell Street, where it is outside the Chaffet.
Mm-hmm.
But grooming is extremely important. I agree with you that this area should look better, but you can't have what you see there at the lower taxis, at that taxi stand going on in this country.
And I'm agreeing with you. My only proviso is to say that I do feel that the way that Bridgetown looks now is 100% better than it looked before. I mean, and I have to tip my hat to Ambassador Dame Billy for the regeneration of Bridgetown, which has happened, I would say, over a space of 10, 15 years, where we actually have spaces in Bridgetown. You can go and sit down, the boardwalk, the same Jubilee thing. The fact that we now have Independent Square used to be a car park. So I am happy that we have made a start where Bridgetown is concerned. And while I'm saying I agree with you, you know, I just say that we also have to recognize that Bridgetown has come a long way.
I agree with you. When saying that, Mr. Wickham, that back in 2001, back in 2003, yes, it was all part, and then Billy should be given credit for revitalization of Bridgetown. If you take Jubilee Gardens, for example, you know, there was a fountain in Jubilee Gardens. They had to stop that because people were, of course, then the fountain came on sudden, and somewhere along the line it was an inconvenience. But if you look at Jubilee
Gardens.
All
I had to do is don't walk across it.
No,
very good. Well, it would get sporty now since now watching people get wet up there. Because you can see it's a fountain, so if you walk across there, you could only want one thing to happen. That'd be entertaining for me.
But it serves a purpose because...
I'm sorry to shut it off.
The vagrant function plays the bait.
Well, there you go.
No, but let's get serious. Now, I'm saying that there may not be any money at the National Conservation Commission, but I'm saying that you cannot allow what is your national treasures to be destroyed because of that. And Jubilee Gardens need to be groomed, need to be looked at. Hewitt Square also, there's no need to start parking cars there because on the outside of Jubilee Gardens, on the outside of Hewitt Square, there's a taxi stand. Mm-hmm. And this is the responsibility of the National Conservation Commission, who in truth of fact should be maintaining the lower bus stand, the lower taxi stand, and making it look like some place for people to work. Mm-hmm. And it's for the government electrical department to go and maintain and empty there, to go and move that pole before it damaged what it would consider an innocent pedestrian. Now, I think I got my points on that clear,
okay.
Right?
Well, so that's it. Uncle Mark, we can take a break. Right? When we come back, we're going to continue with the program. I think you had a good innings today. Thanks a lot for calling. Welcome back to Don the Brass Tacks. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. No, Mr. Wickham, I really called to speak to you about your article on Sander.
Okay.
But before we go there, I heard you speak to Mr. P, and you mentioned that you are loved on the radio,
and
off
hated
the radio, and that if he expected that you would have been a wailing and gnashing of teeth. So that's what he really wanted to put to your article. But first, I would like to ask you, where you got that phrase from?
That what?
Where you got that phrase from?
What, wailing and gnashing?
A gnashing of teeth.
Of teeth? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Is a biblical phrase? Perhaps?
Yes, Mr. Wickham. And it is amazing for a man that has claimed that he's not religious and he's not this, how often you does quote it.
It was brought up in the church, like you.
But that's exactly what I'm coming to, you know, Mr.
It was brought up in the church.
And you know what is the beauty?
I was also brought up eating meat.
You know what the beauty in hypocrisy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that we can judge it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take a look at your article on Sander. Now, first thing, let me tell you, I didn't read it. Because from the time I saw
you didn't read it, but you can talk about it.
No, listen to me, Mr. Wickham. Everybody got an angle. Mm-hmm. From the time I saw the headline, I said, that is not appropriate. Mr. Wickham, I don't know what time you just need to hand in your articles for the Sander print. But if you had handed in that article, the owner should have been on the editor. If not you yourself, based on deadline time, to realize that that was not an appropriate article to publish on Sander. After the wailing and the gnashing of teeth that started on Thursday. You read Albert Bamford's article?
On Sunday? No, I didn't.
Well, people calling me and telling me it's preferred reading to read it. So you can
read it. I'll read it.
There's no way that they can have current news and you would go to bring an article on St. Kitts that could come any other time. And I'm saying that after what took place in Barbados last week, that should have taken precedence on Sander. And if you had already handed your article, any half-rate editor should have called you and ask you to defer that and bring a fresh article, or you yourself should have caught, pull it back and put an article on the current news, Mr. Wickham. And this is the things that I just always have to call for balance. Then you could come now this morning and know about railing a national peace. And I heard about it since Friday morning. People break down in tears and crying bad, and people getting put off the premises and all kinds of things, Mr. Wickham. And you act like you don't know nothing about it, Sandy. So therefore, when I saw that headline, I can't read it.
Well, so I'm sorry that you didn't read it. Maybe you should. One of the things you have to remember, Straker Stanentry, is that I'm a regional analyst. My remit is not only Barbados. I pay attention to the politics all across the region. Some time ago, Ricky Singh stopped writing, and he has essentially thrown in the towel. And I indicated when Ricky Singh stopped writing that I would make it my business, as long as I am writing, to deal with issues regionally from time to time and as regularly as I can. The poll that we did in St. Kitts and Nevis is actually current news in St. Kitts and Nevis. And I think it is important for people across the region to know what's going on, in the same way that people will know what's going on in Barbados.
Mr. Wickham.
The economic situation that Barbados has been grappling with now, I have written about Barbados politics ad nauseum, and I just felt like we needed a break. So, and I suspect you can get another break this week. I ain't dealing with Barbados this week neither.
Mr. Wickham.
So your point is taken. You think I should have written something else, and I take your point.
Well,
I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to say.
Thank God. I'm very glad to hear you at least concede for once. And if current news in St. Kitts can override current news of that magnitude in Barbados, then it's a good thing that I born in Black Rock and then I get bring down here.
You born in Black Rock?
I born in Straker's Tenantry.
You don't live there now, though.
Mr. Wickham, I say this to
because a woman called me on the weekend and told me...
Listen to me, Mr. Wickham.
She said that you can't find you nowhere about in Straker's Tenantry.
Listen to me, Mr. Wickham. I won't just listen to
That's
you.
That's what she told me. I don't know. So you used to be born in Straker's Tenantry?
Mr. Wickham, you know I don't deal with this third-party thing.
But I'm telling you what the lady called and said to me that I need to ask you where you... Because she says she is from Straker's Tenantry, and she said you walk around claiming to be from down there, and you are not from down in there.
Let the lady speak for herself. I will speak for mine.
So you are from Straker's Tenantry.
I've been enumerated since 1991, right? Not even the Postmaster General cannot change my postal address. So I am comfortable with my postal address. So if you or any lady or anybody else want to challenge my postal address, feel free to do it.
So you are not a resident in Straker's Tenantry, but your neighbor string is buried there.
I resident. It has nothing to do with nobody. Nothing to do with nobody.
But you appreciate that by labeling yourself Straker's Tenantry that you may convey the impression that you're from,
that
you are from
Dungan. That is another misconception. Mm-hmm. See, and there's the things that just wonder why people, especially like you with an acid tongue and an acid pen, don't know that
they got acid tongue. Me?
To let not your heart be troubled.
I am the most calm and serene of all of the moderators.
Moderators, Mr. Wickham, you've been played on all two sides.
Yeah. That's acid. That's just balance.
Both parties, everything.
That's balance. That's balance.
Listen to me, Mr. Wickham.
Nobody can't claim to get favor. I unfair all two sides.
I don't know how you determine unfair. But listen to me, Mr. Wickham.
I think that you get unfair the last election. That's what you think.
Listen to me, Mr. Wickham.
You don't feel you get unfair?
No, I want you to listen to me.
No, I ask you, don't feel that you get unfair?
Mr. Wickham, when I finish speaking to you, I can answer any questions you want. No, you just accuse me.
30 love is a hell of an unfairing.
You just accuse me of saying that I live in Straker's Tenantry, right?
Right.
And you know that is a total and complete lie.
I don't know. How do I know that?
I can show you that you know And I can show you.
You know why I raise it? The lady called me and she asked me to put it to you. So I am putting it to you. But personally, I don't really care where you live. Listen, you could call her and say you use for whatever you want. It don't matter.
Listen to me, Mr. Vickham.
I am saying that she had concerns about you being a fraud. I personally, I've never lost sleep over it.
Just tell her for me to let not her heart be troubled. Mm. Listen to me carefully now, Mr. Vickham. I spoke to Mr. Ellis a long time ago. I told Mr. Ellis that at 8 years old, I ran up to the top of Straker Cemetery to see the sweep the mouth motor kid, the brushes and the brooms and the mops and sweep them out.
71? And 76?
Mr. Wickham is 61, man.
61, I'm sorry. Oh, you're that old? Okay.
And it tickled my fancy. He that comes from up on Golden Acres, and I said, don't get actually. And he called me his Straker's tenantry friend, Mr.
Okay,
Wickham.
So that's where the name emerged from.
That he lived the same place he lived when he was 8 years old. Mm. And he just called me his Straker's tenantry friend. I never tell nobody that I live in Straker's tenantry. I come from Straker's tenantry. I didn't even tell him that I lived down in there because Straker's tenantry was a whole.
So let me ask you this question. You saw the 61 Sweet Them Out campaign. Right?
No. You're going wrong again, Mr. Vickham.
You saw the 61 campaign?
Mr. Vickham, I said to Mr. Ellis, I knew nothing about the election or the campaign.
But at 8 years old, you ran up to the top of the road and you saw them and you sweeping out.
I passing here this evening.
Sweeping them out.
And I ran up and didn't see it. Right. That's all I know about it.
So you identify with the DLP since that time?
I follow from 66 right there. Hey.
Hmm? And do you feel that the Democratic Labour Party of now is equivalent to the Democratic Labour Party of then?
Well, the only thing that is constant is change. But I joined them right after the 76 election when they lost, when they was in opposition, with a promise to help them. And that I have done. That's all I would say.
I joined 10 years later.
Well, good.
87.
And when you was ready, you went along. Mm. I ain't ready yet.
No, but I don't think I don't think you will go along nowhere.
Well, I see them as the party of choice. And most of you all see them as the party of choice. But then when they get chips on the shoulder, when they move on. But the party of choice. It is the party of choice.
I ain't got a chip on my shoulder. Well, my shoulders are free
that,
and
you
clear.
You can't fool me.
My shoulder's free and clear.
No, it would never
be. There was something else that you wanted to say earlier. You were talking, and I distracted you, sadly, on the Straker's tenantry thing.
Well, I remember. I can't recall, no. You were
speaking biblically at the time, I suspect. And you were telling me about this.
Biblically, you know,
this situation with the layoffs.
I used to call you the justice of peace of the world. And then one day you get mixed up calling it one with the high priest. And I had to pull you back and tell you, no, you're not religious. So it wouldn't be a high priest. But you know that we always used to, you know, have a tit for tat.
The same lady.
At that time we was on the same side.
Yes, that's true.
It's only since that you ain't on the other side that they get to adversarial.
For the other side. Amen for the other side. This lady here telling me, this is the same lady that told me about your Straker's territory. She asking me if you had said some time ago that blood will be spilled at the BLP conference. This is political blood, of course, not blood in the pure sense.
Who said that?
You said that over a year ago. And
me?
The question is whether or not, because she's saying yes, you did say that political blood will be spilled at the BLP conference. She's wondering whether. This being the first conference since Mayor Motley was elected, whether you can expect political bloodshed. Is that the case, sir?
Listen, if the lady really used to pay attention to me, it wasn't me that said that blood was going to be shed, but I said there will be sacrifices. And the leader having to give up her candidate to the other party's candidate was considered a sacrificial lamb.
I see.
And sacrificial lambs in the scriptures is about spilling blood. So tell the lady, you know, let not she have the trouble. Just tell her that. And to prepare prepare to meet her God. I have already prepared to meet mine. So it's not a problem with me.
You are prepared to meet yours?
Every saint.
Okay.
Every saint. I have done my manly duty and increase and multiply. I have made the mark that he asked me to make, Mr. Vicar.
And on that note, I shall wish you farewell. Because you know, once you start to get scandalous, I shall move on. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Catch today's deal of the day at Quartz. Get the Master Tech kitchen combo of an 11.5 cubic foot fridge and a microwave for only $999.99. You save an amazing $400. Act now. This offer is today only at all Quartz locations. Shop now and pay nothing down for 90 days. Remember, that's only $999.99 for the MasterTech kitchen combo, an 11.5 cubic foot fridge, and a microwave. Special terms and conditions apply. Quartz, bringing value home.
Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
Now, can you help me? How was the time?
No, it's 17 minutes past one.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, I could get 5 or 6 minutes. Let me ask you these two questions.
You might get more than that.
Let me ask you this question quick.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you told Speaker Stenger just now that you don't read Mr. Albert Welford article in Senate paper.
I didn't read it.
Well, I will tell you this. I got about 4 or 5 calls about that article in paper. And knowing the type of person you are, I'm surprised that nobody will call you. I heard him say he get about 3 calls. I get more calls than him. So I will do this for you. I will give you a little time, and the next time you're on the air.
No, you don't have to do that. Just paraphrase it and let the callers
know what your
reflection is.
I want you reading. Let me tell you why I want you reading.
I read Albert Bamford most of the time, you know. It's just that I haven't been able to do it this Sunday. But, I mean, if you want to have a conversation about it, no, it's probably better that you just tell us what was said.
May I ask, you was outside your street deepening somewhere that you don't have time to read it? Because we was there the whole day. You was up there too?
I might have been somewhere else, peeping in somewhere else.
Okay. Now, Mr. Wickham, what I ask that you and Mr. Bell.
Give
this government.
Dr. Bell.
10 out of 10 for the first 100 days.
I think I gave them 10. I don't think I gave them a B+.
Give them 100%.
I gave them a B+.
Okay,
I usually prefer a numerical grade as opposed to textual grade as opposed to a numerical score.
I want you to read the Barbados Labour Party mouthpiece for years and find out how he did it. And we will talk about that another time, not now.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me move on. There's a gentleman in the Senate who I'm falling in love with politically. Because
Caswell?
He don't put himself in a lineup for a seat.
This Caswell?
Yeah, of course.
Caswell ain't running for the seat?
Well, listen to what
I'm saying. Sir, Caswell, you're not running for no seat.
I'm not talking about what you know or what he's going to do.
You would like him to run for a seat?
I'm advising him.
Okay.
If he has his other on his age, he will walk into Parliament right now. This is my belief.
Okay.
But let me explain, and I'm going to say what I mean in about 12 consistencies, he will be walking. But what I'm saying is, everybody seems scared of him because nobody will answer him.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a gentleman called Patrick King who believes, for whatever reason, he could go after any and everybody. And on Sunday, he decided, I get for this man because he was on Brass Tacks Sunday. And the gentleman only said 2 words. And Patrick King, with his eyes open, went into a black wall, upside down. So I know he done. He came back to the man, period. So at the moment, nobody seems to ask the great senator where you get this from, where your information is from. Let me give you one that I'm speaking about. On Wednesday, the gentleman said, that the minister responsible for drainage is boasting about the great job he did at the Fontibel sewage plant. And the gentleman said, you believe, this is what is not mine, that a job property taxpayers $70,000 6 years ago. Cost the taxpayers just a couple of weeks ago $400,000 You heard that or you didn't hear it?
I didn't hear it.
So yeah, you like you're keeping you really going away from politics and things. You are following Cardinals, like you aren't hearing a lot of things. Last time you were on Ice Sport, you didn't hear Mr. Drake Snyder. You like you're listening to certain things, man. You hear the senators.
So you got any idea how awesome is the Outer Barbados?
Okay, but they got something called the paper newspaper.
It but was the they are not with the newspaper. But if you covering 14 territories, it's become a little bit stressing, you know. So I miss things, and maybe those are the two things I missed.
So what I'm saying is, don't crucify me. People like you, who knew about, who had a car, and you know how to get the car. All sorts of things you knew about the last administration. And you would like to know this, and you don't want to know how this project moved from 70,000 to over 400,000.
I think one of the points that you may not appreciate is that the vast majority of us have confidence in this administration, while the vast majority of us had no confidence in the previous one. And I think that makes a difference. There are questions that most of us will not ask now, largely because we trust. The last administration, there was no trust, so we asked all kinds of questions.
How trust getting? Listen,
so because it's about trust.
Just a minute, Mr. Vickham. You supposed to be independent.
Well, I'm supposed to be. I'm independent.
Just a minute. Don't let's go down the wrong road. And please don't talk over. Let's be real. You don't tell me that you trust someone that something costs 70,000. And now you understand this one costs 400, and you're talking you could trust them, so you don't want to know.
And sir,
that's not your job.
And sir, as I explained to you, there are instances in which questions are not asked because there's something called trust. And I think that you may be asking for questions to be asked, but the vast majority of us do have more trust in this administration for now than we did in the last one.
Let's move on with trust.
Please do.
Let's move on with trust.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that the Treasury broke. The last government did this and the last government did next, and there's no money in there.
You drink rum and coke, Alvin?
Rum and Sprite or 7-Up.
Right. Because somebody is here telling me that you need to go and drink a rum and coke. They told me that your drink was rum and coke.
You, I'm going to drink two.
I have.
So tell them that they're late.
He said you need to drink a rum and coke. Have a good afternoon. That what you're saying in the article is essentially all soup warmed over.
Okay, I understand. So you're telling me a job that costs 400 and something thousand a couple of weeks ago is all news.
I'm telling you what the gentleman said.
How come you know?
I have not attempted to argue with you on that point. I'm letting you get to the end of the point.
Let me get the next one that the person that will correct something as to you. They told me that the treasury empty. You have no money. Because you don't hear nothing now. You don't know nothing now. I was told that three persons were just in the transport board, including someone who just called the station at least once a week. And the smallest salary is $12,000. You know that?
I don't know about it either. I saw it on one of the comments that sent into the program.
You saw it?
I saw it on one of the WhatsApp messages, but I'm not going to say things that I don't know for a fact. Is there a document that you can produce?
Wait, but no, don't go. You knew who hired a car and who got a car because to get somebody a job. You knew all that before. You knew that the car. But let me tell you something. You know.
So if you had a BMW X5, you would drive it?
This is what I'm saying.
Sir?
You knew about those things, but you know nothing at all. Do you know about the person that getting 20?
All right, sir, we're going to wrap up. Anyhow, you finish your point, and then we're going to go.
We discussing things that you can write.
No, but when you're discussing stuff, I can write what I want to write. What I would like you to do is if you have information, to bring information, bring documents, read from something. Basically, if you're concerned that somebody getting paid $12,000, you got to do better than just telling me so you have to come with some kind of document, all right?
I thought you told me you saw it in something.
I told you I saw it on the WhatsApp. Somebody sent it on the WhatsApp message here, and I can't, so that's not that verifiable.
That means that I'm not the only person that's talking about it.
Of course, you obviously got your information from someone. Anyhow, sir, we got two other people that are trying to get in, and I want to hear them before we go, so final word to you.
You do this, and let me tell you something, as I said before.
Mm-hmm.
A day is going to come, Mr. Wickham. You listen to me?
Mm-hmm.
That Mr. Wickham, gentleman that is picking you up will not be your father, which is me. A day is going to come that you're going to say, oh, Lord, Lord, have mercy on us. You know that day coming?
All right.
You know that?
That's true. That's true.
Okay, you have a good day.
Thanks a lot for calling, sir. This is Donna Brastax. Good afternoon and welcome. We have about 5 minutes remaining on the program. Let's see if we can get the two calls in. Good afternoon and welcome. Hello.
That's true.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
I try to get to the start calling program.
Yeah, you're on the calling program. Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, Mr. Wigan, how are you?
I'm great. Good to hear you.
This is Adrian Donovan calling.
Yes, sir. How is it? This is the man from St. Lawrence Gap.
Well, I was dealing with sewage.
Okay, so tell us about it.
So the reason why I call is Miss Verda De Pisa had called my name. She wanted to know about me, my status on Sunday and your program. So someone told me. So I just called and let Miss De Pisa know.
You're well.
That not only well, that the problem on the South Coast is much better than when it was. And there's no more sewage on the street at all. It is going in the swamp, which has been going for a very long, long time now. And the other problems are, of course, related to the mosquitoes and the smell, which will come along with sewage. So although the problem has not been solved in its entirety, Mr. Wickham, it has been vastly improved in the last couple of months.
Excellent.
And I may also add and let her know that unlike her administration where we were asking for over 2.5 years for a meeting with the officials, and we've had 2 meetings so far with this present minister and accompanying ministers and other permanent secretaries to give us an update, a brief of what is going on. So we are very grateful. But I would also, before I go to the fight with Mr. Pisa, where has she been for the last 10 years? Because this problem affects both Christchurch West, which she was a candidate for the last 2 elections, and Christchurch South. Yeah. It is bottom bound. And for those two, that period that she was running as her party was in power, she never really addressed the issue. This is the first time I've heard her talk about this, of course, Sarah's issue. And I wanted to know there were a number of people in that constituency of Christchurch West who were greatly affected. So I'm making a public appeal, Mr. Wickham, through your good office, your radio station, that I'm willing to meet Miss De Pisa and take her through her constituency, which she knows well, and show her some affected areas where people would have complained and which they are much better off right now.
Okay. Adrian, thank you so much for bringing the program to a close on such a positive note. I'm sure that Mr. Pisa is listening, as I'm assuming she does every day, and she's taking copious notes, so we'll make contact with you. I certainly want to thank you for the contribution you've been making to the residents in that area. Very, very many of us appreciate the effort that you put in, so that needs to be said. Well, this has been Down to Brass Tacks for the 23rd day of October. We had a good program today. Thank you for all who called and made the program what it was. Special thanks to Dennis Johnson for his excellent work in the technical booth and for all the excellent cutting that he had to do from time to time. My name is Peter Wickham, and I look forward to being with you next Tuesday on Down to Brass Tacks. Until then, do take care.